Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to a brand new week at Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we'd love to hear from you on this edition. The phone lines are wide open for you at 844-322-2742. If you have some struggle you're dealing with in life, if you have a Bible question or some passage you can't quite understand, this is a great opportunity to call straight into the studio and speak with us right now at 844-322-2742. And, of course, that number's good in the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742. Call now, because it's Basic Gospel, everybody. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thank you, Bob. So how do we stand out as believers in Christ in this culture of confusion? Well, Paul gives us some insights in his second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 5. It's one of the great passages in the Word of God. It talks about the reconciliation that God has brought about for us in the person and work of Jesus Christ, that God has reconciled us unto himself. He's removed the barriers. He took away the sin issue. And so there's nothing standing in between you and God. If you don't have a relationship with God, there's absolutely nothing that you need to do in order to bring one about. Right. God has already done all of the work, and he is inviting you to enter into that relationship simply by calling upon his name. But in this passage, in saying that God has done that for us in Christ, he has given to us, those of us who have received this reconciliation, a ministry. It's called the ministry of reconciliation. And then Paul goes on to say in verse 20, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, he says, "Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ." So how do we stand out in this world? Well, we take hold of that role that God has given us, that we are ambassadors for Christ Jesus. So we're representing the kingdom of God. Paul said in another letter that we are citizens. Our citizenship is in heaven. So as we are here on planet Earth, we are representatives of a kingdom, a kingdom of God that has been brought about through the work of Jesus Christ. And we are representatives of Christ, making an appeal to people to be reconciled to God. So this is available to anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord. God has done all of the work. There's this invitation to receive this gift of reconciliation, to receive this gift of life, to receive Jesus Christ himself. And when someone does, then they have received that reconciliation, and they are now at one with God. They are at peace with God. They are right with God. Everything is exactly how God wants it to be for that particular person. So how do we stand out? Well, we recognize the role, the task, the vocation that God has given us. Mm-hmm. And that's to be ministers of reconciliation, to go about sharing this good news, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, so that others can be reconciled to God as well. And there's nothing more valuable on planet Earth than that. People coming to a point of receiving Jesus. When they receive Jesus, they're rescued out of this darkness, and they are placed in the kingdom of the Son. Now, that is a stark difference, yes. And that's where true life, genuine life, can be experienced to the full. You can't experience full life, or you can't experience life out there in darkness. That's ruled by sin and death. You have to be transferred out of that place and put into the kingdom. There in the kingdom of God, it's grace and righteousness that reign, and we can experience this life to the full. So remember, as a believer in Christ, you're a minister of reconciliation. You're an ambassador for Christ, and you can go about your day-to-day life making an appeal to people to be reconciled to God.
Absolutely. Good words, Bob. Thank you. And friends, thank you for being with us for this edition. We have open lines at 844-322-2742. If you'd like to speak with us, well, we'd love to speak with you. It is Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis. And Bob, I know you and I agree that our donors are very, very special people. And each month we produce a resource just to say thanks to them for being a part of the support of this ministry and helping us continue to proclaim every day of the year, every broadcast day of the year, I should say, this this message of God's love and grace. Tell us about the resource this month.
Well, we all want to be difference makers in this world. We all want to stand out. We all want to do something that's going to be of eternal value to somebody else. Well, if we're going to do that, we're going to have to do so against the current of the world. Yeah. The world doesn't want us to represent Christ. The world doesn't want us to tell others about Jesus. So we have to do so against these external forces that are trying to move us in a different direction. Yeah. So how do we stand firm? How do we actually move in a different direction? Well, we do so through the power of God, through the power of the resurrection, through the person and power of the Holy Spirit living inside of us. So how do we tap into that power? It's by faith. And as we do, then we're going, as Paul said in his letter to the Philippians, we're going to shine like stars out in the universe. And that's what a difference maker is all about. It's not because we're doing something through our own effort, through our own strength, through our own intellect or energies. We are abiding in the power of the resurrected one. And that's what this series is all about, and we want to put it in your hands so that you can step out in faith and really live out who you are as a child of God.
And as you make your October gift to Basic Gospel, we want to send you against the current, and we can't encourage you strongly enough to make that contribution to support this ministry and get this very meaningful resource, Against the Current, produced by Bob Christopher here at Basic Gospel. Well, again, 844-322-2742, plenty of open lines, plenty of time on the clock. If you have a question or some issue you're struggling with, we want to hear from you right now. Again, that number, good in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. In the meantime, a question that came in over the weekend. Bob, let's listen.
Hey, my name is Joe. First of all, thank you guys for your ministry and your help. We really appreciate it, and God bless y'all. My question is, what do you say for somebody that's saying you have to be baptized to be actually saved? I heard a preacher say that because it's in the New Testament. I know it's in the New Testament, but I think he's taking it out of context. I'm not 100%, but if you could answer that, I appreciate it. God bless you guys. Talk to you later.
Well, thank you, Joe. That's a great question. And the gospel message is recorded for us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. And Paul says, this is what I've received, this is what I've passed on, this is the gospel that saves, this is the gospel on which you've taken your stand. And then he goes in and says, this is it, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, and then on the third day he was raised in accordance with the scriptures. So it's the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We also can add the ascension of Jesus Christ into that, because he ascended and took his rightful place at the right hand of God the Father. And in doing so, he was given the Holy Spirit to pour out on mankind, which he did at Pentecost. But it's the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So there's no mention of baptism in that message. There's no requirement for anyone to be baptized in water to be saved. That's just not a part of the gospel. And Paul even elaborates on that in his letter to the first to the Corinthians, his first letter. He said, God did not send me to baptize people. He sent me to preach the gospel. And he says, I just baptized a few folks. If God had sent me to baptize, and that was a part of the gospel message, I would have baptized everybody. Yeah. But he didn't do that. He just baptized a few people there in the city of Corinth. And the reason he did that is because that he didn't baptize more is because he wanted to focus his attention on just framing the good news of Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. just getting it out there so people could hear it and respond. So to be saved, we simply call upon the name of the Lord. We simply believe. We simply trust what he's done for us through his death, burial, and resurrection. And we're saved. Now, water baptism is simply an expression of celebration to say to the world, a testimony out there to the world or to other believers that you too have identified with the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So you celebrated the day that you were born again, the day that you were made new in Christ, and then you invite others to celebrate with you in this water baptism sacrament.
Yeah.
And so it's a celebration. And when it's done that way, the body of Christ really celebrates with you. But that's not necessary for salvation.
Joe, you called the right number. Hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you. Once again, friends, 844-322-2742. The lines are open right now if you'd like to speak with us at Basic Gospel. Well, we'd love to hear from you. And, Bob, this question came in just today. This is from Gina. Very, very penetrating question. Very interesting question. Gina writes, I would like to get your help on this. On the Internet, there are so many people who talk about ways to be saved. I know there's only one way, and that is through Jesus Christ. But how to receive salvation through him is what the argument is around. I listen to some who tell people to turn from their sins, repent from their sins, then believe in Jesus and accept them and accept him into their lives. Others say, no, you just believe in Jesus, that turning from your sin is a false gospel. They've even said that Billy Graham probably isn't in a good place because he preached the wrong gospel and told people to turn from their sins. I've heard these phrases like easy believism, free grace theology, and lordship salvation. I'm so confused. Who is preaching the right gospel? I just want to know that I'm saved. That's from Gina.
Well, the gospel, like we just said, is the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus informed his disciples that that's what was going to happen to him, that he was going to go to Jerusalem. He was going to be handed over. He was going to receive all kinds of persecution from the religious leaders, from the Roman soldiers. He was going to be nailed to a cross. He was going to be crucified. He was going to die. He was going to be buried. And then on the third day, he was going to come back to life. So that's the work that Jesus did on our behalf. And in dying, he died for our sins. He bore our sins on in his body. And so he took them from us, and he died in our place. He was buried, putting an end to the law, putting an end to our old way of life, and he was raised so that he would never die to sin again. He's going to live forever, and because of that, you and I are raised to walk in the newness of life. So that's what Jesus Christ did, and when we believe that, when we receive him, we're saved. So Paul framed it this way in Romans chapter 10. We confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. We believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, and we're saved. That's calling upon the name of the Lord. That's what that is. That's it. You know, we have all these different phrases in the New Testament. Call upon the name of the Lord. Believe in Jesus and you will be saved. Anyone who receives him, he's given the right to become children of God. So in three different places, we have believe, we have receive, we have call upon the name of the Lord. Well, what are all those? Well, they're the same thing. Yeah. That's what they are. That's faith. We are saved by grace through faith. So grace is the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's God showing his favor toward mankind in Jesus, in and through Jesus. We receive that through faith. And when we do, we're saved. Mm-hmm. So the story is all about Jesus. And when we try to, you know, kind of make the story about Jesus and us, that's when we get into trouble. So let's just keep the story about Jesus, and let's make it real simple for us, and that's the believing part. If somebody gives you a gift, what do? You receive it. That's it. That's the simplicity of this. Mm-hmm. God has offered you eternal life through Jesus. You receive it. That's that faith. That's that through faith aspect of Ephesians 2:8-9.
Yeah.
So keep it simple. The gospel is the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When you believe in him and what he's accomplished for you, you are saved. and then God sends his Spirit to take up residence in you, you become a brand new creature in Christ.
Gene, a great question. We hope you're listening and hope that's a help to you. And Bob, another question that came in today with some urgency, I would say. You know, at the opening of the program, I always say if you're struggling with some issue or have a question about a Bible passage, well, this is one of those struggling issues. This is from Rhonda. She says, I so enjoy your YouTube videos. I watch them a lot and also receive info on how I'm on your being on your mailing list. So grateful for both of you and your commitment to all of the viewers for spiritual growth. She goes on to say, I suffered a serious personal injury in a store a few months ago, which left me with permanent injuries. I'm off work and may not be able to resume my career of 35 years, so it's left me in a tough spot. I did hire an attorney with the help of my family and have filed a lawsuit against the store. I've read through the Bible and to try to find any scripture about lawsuits. I'm a Christian, but I'm not sure if the heads of the store are. I'm asking if you can point me to any scripture about what God feels about legal issues like this. That's from Rhonda, who sent us an email on this just today.
Well, Rhonda, thank you for that. And so sorry that you've experienced this injury, and it's just really altered kind of your life right now and maybe into the future.
Yeah.
And in a situation like that, you say, am I going to be okay? Can I trust the Lord in this situation? And that's really where you have to take this. And I think you look back at your life and you realize just how faithful God has been to you through all of those years. Mm-hmm. And with that as kind of your history, then you can look forward and say, well, I know he's going to take care of me, you know, today and tomorrow and for all the remaining years that I have. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to give thanks for that. I'm going to trust him for this current situation and know that he is going to take care of me. So I think that's how you deal with it. And that's a process. I mean, it's not something that just happens overnight. I mean, you look and you get mad at what happened. You get mad that you're not able to go to work. There's all kinds of emotional things that you have to work through. It's almost like a grieving process. But at the end of it, I hope that leads you to a point where you're saying, hey, God has taken care of me up until this moment. I know he's going to continue to take care of me.
Sure.
Now, as far as the store being responsible for that fall and helping you, you know, there's you don't know if the store owners are Christians, like you said. So I think you can go the legal route. If they are Christians, I think you can just go to them and say, hey, let's try to work this out, mm-hmm. work this situation out. The place in the Bible where it talks about, you know, brothers in Christ not suing one another is in 1 Corinthians, I believe it's chapter 6, and he's saying, you know, why go to the world to solve issues among brothers and sisters in Christ? You have the wisdom of God at your discretion. You have the mind of Christ. And so let the mind of Christ kind of help you in navigating this this difference and bring about reconciliation. So we don't want to take those things to the world and let them judge for us. Let's seek the wisdom of God and let that be a better judgment and a better outcome for all parties involved. That's just how big God is, and that's just how wise he is, that he can work all things together for good for all parties involved, even though it looks like something that is insurmountable, something mm-hmm. that we can't overcome. But that's not the case as far as God is concerned. So follow your conscience in this. If you come to a point and say, hey, I don't think this is right, follow your conscience and trust the Lord to work it out. He's given you that promise that he's going to work out all things together for your good. Trust him to do so.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's how that's how you proceed with a situation like this.
Rhonda, glad you reached out, and we hope that's a help to you. If you have further questions, don't hesitate to contact us. And Bob, we had this question from Brian. He says his big challenge is that we are not even encouraged to give to the poor, and it's been made to seem as if giving to the church is the only part of giving. I'm not saying we shouldn't give to the church, but I see a hungry man and I'm holding money meant to go to the church. Isn't it okay to take part of that offering and give it to someone in need?
Well, absolutely. I mean, you are entrusted with resources, and you have the Spirit of God living inside of you. So do with those resources what you think the Lord is moving you to do. And certainly if you see someone in need, you don't want to just go pat them on the head and say, go and hope things work out for you. Extend love. And what does that love look like? I think it's rolling up the sleeves and getting into action on behalf of that person. And that could mean, doing some physical things to help that particular individual, or giving of resources to help that particular individual. That's all a part of this stewardship life that we have. Yeah. Now, hopefully in giving to a church, different churches are going to be doing things to support the needy within their community. So sometimes when you're giving to a church, you're giving to meet those needs as well. Yeah. But yes, the Bible is very clear that we need to be considerate of those that are less fortunate, and to give our resources to help those in need. So certainly appreciative of that question. Yeah. Bob, we also had another question that came in through us on YouTube today. Kristen is asking about evangelists who ask, are you truly saved? And if so, wouldn't there be more evidence showing that you are saved? And the reality is, when you're saved, you're made into a new creation. Mm-hmm. You're born again. The Spirit of God takes up residence inside of you. And so since the Spirit of God is there, the Spirit of God is going to be at work in and through you. So you're going to see some differences in your attitudes, in your way of thinking, as opposed to what those were when you were lost.
Yeah.
So that's evidence that the Spirit of God is there. You're gonna have a whole new set of desires. Mm-hmm. So when before you wanted to get even with people who wronged you, you're gonna see a different desire there as well now, as a believer, a desire to maybe forgive that person, a desire to be reconciled to that person, a desire to love that person. That's the Spirit of God in you.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to bear witness with your human spirit that indeed you're a child of God. So you have the testimony inside of you. God gave a testimony about his son. That testimony was recorded for us in the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation, that he indeed is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that through him salvation is available. Now you have that testimony inside of you. The same testimony God gave about his son is now inside of you. Mm-hmm. And you know that you belong, that you're a part of the family of God.
Yeah.
And you'll see that fruit of the Spirit being expressed in and through you. So it's not about the things that you're going to be doing. It's about what Jesus Christ is going to be doing in and through you.
Well, we really love hearing from all of you, our listeners, and Kristen and Brian and Rhonda, Gina and Joe, all of you. Thanks for reaching out, and we hope the answers you got today are helpful to you. If you have further questions, don't hesitate to contact us again. And friends, thank you for joining us for Basic Gospel, everybody. If you have Bible questions or some troublesome issue of everyday living, well, give us a call. The voicemail system is open for you anytime at 844-322-2742, and that, of course, is good in the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742. And once again, thanks to the many of you who support Basic Gospel with your prayers and with your gifts. and we need your continuing support. If you've been unable to help so far, you can join us now by making a gift at basicgospel.net. Again, that's basicgospel.net. And when you do, we'd love to send you a copy of Bob's resource called Against the Current, a wonderful, wonderful resource for those who donate to help Basic Gospel stay on the air every day. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.